Lord God, open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts that we may hear and receive your word, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please do be seated. I recently went to the church in Brackley. I'm taking a funeral there tomorrow, actually, and I wanted to pop in just to familiarise myself with the beautiful church there. And I noticed on top of the church tower a large iron key. And I thought, not a cross. But then I thought, oh yes, of course, it is St. Peter's Church, Brackley. And I remembered this verse we heard in our gospel reading today. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus saying this to Peter, having already said that Peter is the rock on which Jesus will build his church here on earth, saying the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, not prevail against the church. So powerful images for Peter, being given the keys to the kingdom of heaven and being called the rock on which Jesus will build his church. Jesus identified what gifts and skills Peter has to take the sharing of the gospel message forward. In fact, each of the 12 disciples do have visuals, articles, items that symbolise something about them, such as Matthew, who is often seen with money bags or purses because he was a tax collector before following Christ. And Simon the Zealot, when we see icons or paintings of him, he's often carrying a fish, as he was a fisherman. Jude has a boat or a ship, symbolising his missionary travels, and Thomas being shown with a ruler, symbolising his building of churches, and sometimes a spear, representing his martyrdom. In fact, quite a lot of them do have symbols of the ways that they were martyred in their great mission work, and carrying the gospel message out. And then there's James, who has scallop shells. You know, those lovely little shells which we use actually in baptism quite often. And they represent his pilgrimage as he was the first apostle to undertake missionary journeys far afield. Some of you may have heard of the shrine of St. James the Greater in Santiago de Compostela. I never remember how to pronounce that word in Spain. We've seen a lot of those programmes on TV of those pilgrimages, and some of us would have taken some of those paths along there. And pilgrims would historically wear a little scallop shell on their hats or on their clothing in honour of James and this sacred journey that he had made. So these symbols of the disciples show us something about their individuality and what they offered in their mission work. In fact, the disciples were a team of men with different skills, and between them they covered many aspects of spreading the gospel message. Like us here in our congregations, we are part of a team. Some of us on the PCC, others on various groups that are associated with the church. Maybe the refreshments, or the cleaning, or the church maintenance, the fundraising, probably a combination of many of those things, all so important. We all have different gifts and skills to offer. It was Jesus who identified Peter's gifts, naming them. And this in itself can be tricky to come to realise what gifts and skills we have to offer. I know in the workplace today, many companies have days when they get their teams to take part in activities which help to identify what gifts and skills individuals have. Indeed, I know some churches have such days, working with PCC members, with congregations, to help all work well in their mission work out into the community. But also to help work well together in supporting each other in their worship and in their development of their own personal Christian journey. Possibly something we could do in our benefits, in our parishes. Something for us to think about. But before Jesus spoke of Peter being rock, the person on whom Jesus would rely on building his church, the person who would be given the keys. Jesus had asked a question of the disciples, and it is a question we need to ask ourselves as we think of our role in the church and indeed in our personal journey of faith, one which we can come back to time and time again in our life, one which led me at the age of late 40s to come into the church as a vicar to start that journey. So let me read the first verses of our gospel reading again. It says, "Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' The disciples answered Jesus with the common view at that time, by all of those who would rate Jesus as being a good man, the one that Jesus was indeed one of the great prophets come back to life. In the scripture readings of that time, in their writings, in Deuteronomy, it says God had said he would raise up a prophet from among the people. And many people were beginning to see that Jesus might be that prophet. Of course, he hadn't gone to his resurrection at that time. And thinking of people today in our world, many people do recognize Jesus as a prophet from of old, rating Jesus alongside other religious leaders that we might know about, that we might name like Buddha or Confucius, admiring Jesus' teachings without committing to follow him, not wanting to commit to follow his teachings or learning more about him. Again, something for us to think about. Well, in our gospel reading, Jesus then goes on to ask the disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Jesus asks them, "Who do you say that I am? I know what others think, but what do you feel about me?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." It is Peter who speaks up. Peter recognizes Jesus' divinity, that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, sent from God, the Son of God, God come down to be amongst us. And it was following that declaration that Jesus revealed the true potential of Peter, what Peter would become, what was possible. Peter recognized who Jesus was and spoke it out boldly. And in response, Jesus recognized who Peter was. And Jesus speaks out boldly to Peter about what Jesus will empower Peter to do. These encounters with Jesus, which come when we think deeply about our faith, what it means to us, can and often do reveal what God has in store for us as individuals, as a church, as a benefice. It is why we gather together weekly across the benefice for Sunday worship, why we say a prayer before our PCC meetings or other meetings to ground our words, our conversations, our planning upon our faith in God amongst us. Why it is so good to say our morning prayers, get us going on the right track each morning. Today we have just sung that lovely hymn. It was written in the 19th century by Frances Ridley Havergal, the daughter of a vicar. The one we just sang, "Take My Life and Let It Be." Now Frances, she was obviously brought up a Christian. Her father was a vicar. I'm sure she was attended church regularly and did everything that you would do as a Christian young child or a vicar. But she writes of a conversion, an awakening in her teens, when she says she committed her soul to the Saviour, and earth and heaven seemed brighter from that moment. I really love the way she phrases that. Earth and heaven seemed brighter from that moment. Great feeling, and from then on, her path for helping others and giving what she could and always followed. We read of such folk, we hear of such folk, and can rejoice in their commitment, their offering of their gifts and skills in whatever format. And maybe if we draw closer to God, commit ourselves as individuals, as a church, as a benefice, we too may find renewed energy, renewed commitment, renewed focus and joy, and also a refreshing of the gifts and skills that we do have, what we can offer in Jesus's service as we share the wonderful message of hope, love and joy in Jesus the Messiah, the Saviour, the Son of the living God. Amen.